On page 415, 416, in the middle of the page where it says Vihine Ka'adam in the big words, and in the English, it's on the paragraph on the left-hand column. No. This is next in a series of tzedakah request letters that the Alter Rebbe wrote for the support of his various institutions. And each one has a different angle as to how to approach giving tzedakah. In this one, he starts out and says that he calls it Maisa HaTzedakah. He says there's a quoting the Pasuk that says there's Maisa HaTzedakah, and then he goes off on a tangent before he goes back into this idea of what's Maisa HaTzedakah, the act of tzedakah, which he gets down. We might actually, I don't know if we're going to get there today, we probably won't. But then Alter Rebbe goes off and explains the pasuk Kibbe Yudke Hashem Tzur Olamim, that Hashem with the letters Yud and He formed the world, and said that the Yud forms Olam Haba, and the He forms this world, and that is a taken from a Gemara.
You said He first and then Yud last time.
Okay,
it's coming back to me. Four bottles.
Alter Rebbe explains the He because it's Olam Hazeh. And then it explains the Yud. And he went into great detail to explain the idea of how the speech pathology works, as to be able to understand how it is that the Tzimtzum process also works. Okay? And that's what we've been saying up till now. And it says it's all based on specifically these two letters, because the He and the Yud are both called Asa Kalila. They're both called small letters. The Yud, because it's a small letter, and it is an expression of, more importantly, the idea of Chachma, of wisdom, which he's going to talk about later on, which is just merely a point. And then the He, when you say a He, all you're doing is exhaling. There's no other part, or no other part of your articulative speech are involved when saying a He. And so that's why these are called little letters, because they don't go through so much, there's not that much processing there. So now he says, Vihine ba'adam atachton l'mashal. To understand that, let's take a look at people. Mishehu chacham gadol. You got a guy, a big chacham. Lahaskel nifloiz chachma. And he's able to intellectualize very deep, awesome concepts. This guy's got a high IQ. Okay. The Simpson Sichlo Mashavta Bois Achad Bidiburai. And he's able to contract his intellect and his thought into one letter of speech. Okay. So this is actually another ability. You have people that are brilliant. Okay. I once did a lecture series. And we brought in all kinds of people. Mm-hmm. So we brought in this person who was touted as being the smartest person in the world. He's a firm guy. He taught mathematics at Harvard. Now he teaches mathematics in Israel someplace. And so he was going to give this speech to doctors and lawyers and business people. And he talked for 45 minutes and then said, are there any questions? And I think the only part that I understood is are there any questions?
That's not smart.
Nobody had any idea what he was talking about.
What did he talk about?
I think he talked about the ability of doctors to heal. Okay, but very smart, couldn't convey it. Okay, which that's a big chesaron. Okay, because I was thinking to myself, this guy's a teacher.
Rabbi Steinsaltz can convey somewhat, yeah.
I don't want to talk about it. Anyway, so when he was, I had to finagle like sponsors and whatnot. So because he was like the smartest person in the world and he was a professor of math at Harvard, so I got him a gig to speak at University of Michigan. And I spoke with they picked up the bill and I used them. It was very cute. And I asked the department head, did you understand what he was talking about? He said, for the most part, yeah. Okay, I said, yeah. Okay. You're Chinese, and you speak English with a Chinese, heavy Chinese accent, and he's Russian, and he speaks English with a heavy Russian accent. So between the two of you, right. But like you said, his numbers are numbers. When he turned around and put it on the board, you know, so then. So, but if you can't bring it down, that's not called teaching. A teacher has to be able to do that.
Yep. Okay. The sign of wisdom was to convey something succinctly. That takes a lot of intelligence.
That takes all. That's because the process when you're trying to do that is, you have the initial idea, which is the germ of the idea, which is chokhmah. Then there's an expanse with all the details and looking at it inside and outside and upside and down and developing it. Now what you have to do is you have to put it back into a point, which is called nekudas tamsis at that point. It's like the essence of it, like tea essence. It's the same thing. Okay? You take the essence of the idea, and then that's what you give to the student. And the student now starts the process over again, because now that final remainder bit of intellect that the teacher is conveying becomes the beginning point for the student. Now the student has to take that idea that he's gotten, which contains every detail of the full expanse of understanding of the teacher, and he has to develop it also with the full expanse as well. That's why it says, "Ein adam mekayim adaita derebbe ad arbo'in shnin." A person only understands his Rebbe after 40 years. You know that Ben Arboim Labina, which says in Perkei Avos, that a person reaches a level of understanding at age 40. So a person will understand what his Rebbe said after he learned it and spent 40 years on it. Is what it says in the Zohar.
I'm really bad. After 5 or 6 years of Gemara, time, I still don't fully understand it.
Well, but how long have you been? You got 35 years. So that's fine. There you go. Learn Tanya after you're 40.
Yeah,
he doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm sorry. He's your Rabbi, but I started learning Tanya at 17, and that's what got me from, and that's what keeps me from.
Zohar
when you're 40.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Zohar didn't start it.
Because he said, he said he has to go through Shas first. I said, okay.
I did review Sefer Yetzirah over Pesach.
Oh, good. Good on you. Okay. Explain it to me. Anyway, so that's the whole deal. This is the whole deal. It now has to be, in order to convey it, it has to be contained into one letter. This is a tremendous descent to this awesome level of Chachma. Okay, what would be, Shlomo HaMelech was able to do this. It's that Shlomo HaMelech was able to convey every concept utilizing 3,000 different mashalim. What does that mean? Not that he took a mashal from a cat, and a mashal from a dog, and a mashal from a horse. No. It was 3,000 different levels of understanding that he had that he should be able to relate to whatever level of understanding that person may be on. Mm-hmm. Says Rabbi Meir was able to do 300 mashalim. Pretty good still.
What's a mashalim?
Mashal. Examples.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay, me, I'm lucky if I can give one or two, if I'm lucky. Okay, because what's the idea of a mashal? The purpose of a parable or an example is to convey the same ideas. You look at this idea, you're talking about a story of a such and such, and you get the idea of what's going on with the such and such, and so that leaves you to understand what it is. Oh, now I know I got what you're talking about over here with this thing over here, which is otherwise incomprehensible. So the mashal itself, the example, the parable, also is a tzimtzum. It's also a containment. Yeah. In fact, it's called more than a containment. It's called like a whole masach, a whole cover. The entire intellect is covered over in the parable. Mm-hmm. There's, who was it? I don't know if it was Menachem Mendel Hardacher or Yaakov Yosef Polnayer. So I don't remember which rabbi it was, but the Baal Shem Tov, before the Baal Shem Tov died, told. Let's back up a bit, even more. Somebody brought their kid to the Baal Shem Tov. The kid was like 3 years old. Mm. And the Baal Shem Tov took the kid on his lap, and he said, "Yingle, I want to tell you a story." And he told them this real long, elaborate story. And Yaakov Yitzchak of Polnoyer was in the room with him.
Okay.
When this person wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, like I don't remember who it was somebody who became a Rebbe. So Yaakov Yitzchak, he stopped off in Polnoyer on his way to Israel. And he said, do you remember when you were 3 years old and you went to the Baal Shem Tov? And he said, yes. He says, do you remember the story that the Baal Shem Tov told you? And he said, yes. And he said, where are you up to in the story? He said, that's why I'm here, because I came to see you. I mean, it's up to the story where I come to visit you before I go to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so the kid eventually, now 3 years old, he didn't understand what was going on. Here's a story. Okay, but at some point he realized, this is your life. And had his whole life planned out by the Baal Shem Tov, but it was in story form.
Yes.
Even the little kid could understand.
But have the wherewithal to understand.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. So that's an able to convey. Able to convey a concept, a difficult concept in a story, like Shlomo Melech with his 3,000, Rabbi Meir with his 300. Okay, it involves a tremendous amount of chachma on the part of the teacher because all the details have to come into the story. Because if you're missing the detail, any detail, then it's going to convey a different idea. So now that's what makes a good teacher. As a teacher, what is he doing? He's taking this tremendous intellect and he's making it user available to the student. It may take, as we said, 40 years for the student to understand fully what his teacher was telling him. But he's giving him everything there. Okay, so then he says, so this is Kachamama Derech Mashal. So too by way of example. Oh, yeah. Got it. The yesim is any more than its laying case infinitely so. Hayat simsum godel utsum virav was this great and awesome contraction. We're talking about infinite amounts of godliness conveying itself into three dimensions. Okay. That is a little bit more involved than, say, taking and trying to explain the concepts of Atsilus using physical examples.
Right.
Okay, because we could talk about them. I could talk about Atsilus from today until tomorrow. And you know what? We'd still be right here.
Exactly.
Hashem, when a quote-unquote Hashem speaks, and there's this containment, so Atzilus becomes a Siyah.
Right.
The world of emanation becomes the physical world. Kasher b'dvaravayim shemayim nasu b'sheshes yemei breshes, as it says that in the speech of Hashem, the heaven was made during the 6 days of creation. U'baruach piv kol tzavam, and with the spirit of his mouth, all the hosts. That's who owes hey shall shame harvaya baruchu asa kalila. This is we're talking about what is it that did all this creation? It's the last hey, because the last hey has many different names depending on the philosophy. It's called the Shekhinah, it's called Adnai, it's called Malchus, it's called Ematata, the lower mother. Depends which book you're opening up, and all of those names have some sort of a connotation of being in charge of what's lower than it. Adnai means Lord. And Malchus is king, which that implies already subjects. Mothers, you know what they say, if mom's happy, everybody's happy.
Right,
you know?
So exactly,
mothers.
Right.
And then Shekhinah is a divine presence. That's like the most friendly of them all, right? You know, just like to warm up to this cuddly, nurturing Shekhinah business. Okay, yeah, but the Shekhinah is what puts us in our place, too. Yes. But it's all an expression. It's all Eis Hay. It's the last Hay of Hashem's name, which he calls it a small letter. Gemosha Kosev. Behibarim. It says, Eile Tolba Shemayim Va'aretz Behibarim. These are the generations of the Pasuk in Bereishis. These are the generations of the creation of the heavens and the earth when God created them. So the word Behibaram, when he created them, is behei barum. Is he created them with a hey? It's an anagram. If you take the word behi barum, he created them, and you kind of switch it around, so it becomes behei barum. With the hey, he created them. It's right there in the word. Vahu makar hatas maimar shenimshachu mamaimar rishon breishis nami maimarhu. And this is the source, the powerhouse, behind the nine other utterances which were used for the creation, because the word breishis is also one of the ten utterances. There's a given in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Pirkei Avos. Basara maimaras nivra ha'olam, with ten sayings the world was created. Right. And if you go and you count, so what does that mean? You're going to find ten vayehi elokims in the first chapter of Bereishis. But if you go and you count the vayehi vayomer elokims, you're only going to find nine.
Oops.
So the Gemara discussing this says, wait a minute, there's only nine. So the Gemara answers, Breishis nami maimer hu. Breishis is also considered one of the utterances. What kind of utterance is Breishis? When it says, Vayayimer Elohim, and Hashem said, let there be a this, I can understand. It's Hashem conveying godliness in a contained form. What is it? What kind of conveyance is there? Breishis bar Elohim as Hashemayim v'sa'aretz. It's in the beginning Hashem created the heavens and the earth. Well, if you finish the rest of that Mishnah, it says, V'haloi b'maimer echad yacholoi barim. Hashem was able to create, make a creation with one utterance.
Right.
And if it would be then, if Hashem would have made the creation with one utterance, what would that other utterance have been? Just very simple. Let there be a creation.
Yeah.
Okay? Which is, Bereshis bara Elohim es Hashemayim v'sa'aretz. In the beginning, Hashem created the heavens and the earth.
Right.
Okay. Even though you want to say, so how do we explain that? So we explain that Bereshis bara, that pasuk there, is the powerhouse behind all the Vayomer Elohims. Because when with Bereshis bara, with the very first pasuk of Chumash, what we have is a system set up, but we don't have a system.
Right.
The system doesn't come into effect until you have all of the Yomer Elokims, and then Adam opens up his eyes and he says, hey, here I is, and there you are too, God. So the so the Bereishis Bara is the source from whence all the other ten utterances come from.
Mm-hmm.
Bereishis is translated, according to Onkelos, as Bechuchmasa Bara. With Chachma he created.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was he talking about, I'm not sure what kind of Kabbalah or mysticism Onkelos knew, to translate it as he created it with wisdom. Targum Yonason translates it Bekadmoi Bara, which means at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Kadma meaning like in a primordial state. Okay, so what Targum Yonason is referring to is the world is the level of Keser, and Bechochma Sabara means it's just like Kulam Bechochma Sisa that the Alter Rebbe quotes a zillion times in Tanya, means that Hashem created the world using what tool? He used Chochma as a tool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that is expression of Bereishis is the Chochma. That's the initial germinating point, which supplies every detail of the creation. It's not just that the world existed in potential with Bereishis. It's a lot. There's a lot more than that. It's the same thing you would say. Bereishis is like the zygote of creation in this instance.
Yeah, yeah.
Because every detail is there.
Right.
Oh. Okay. Now with a zygote, all you see is 46 pairs of chromosomes.
Right.
That's only because we don't know how to read them. If we know how to read all of those genes on all of those chromosomes,
we could
tell you exactly what this person's going to be.
Right.
Okay, may even be able to tell how long this person's going to live under natural circumstances. Yeah, so it's all decoded in there.
Yeah.
So in the Bereishis, there's also decoded coded, not decoded. There's coded.
Right, coded.
There's coded all the entire creation.
Yeah.
And he calls that Asa Khalil. That's a shame. That's the last hay. With the hay, he created them. Shinim Shechu Maimer Rishim Vereshis Veganami Maimer Hu. He bechinas chachma hanikri reishis. That's what they said. That this is chachma, which is called the first level. Ach oz haiso hamshach of yiridazu beli yisurusa delatata klal. But this whole beginning of the onset of the creation happened without any arousal from below. Normally we say yisurusa delatata is garmi yisurusa delaela. That arousal from below, meaning us getting excited, causes Hashem to get excited. When a person puts on tefillin, so it brings godliness into the world because of this person putting forth the effort, Hashem says, okay, I'm going to put forth some effort too. But then, if you're talking about Breishis, where everything's just a potential,
right?
So you could say, and the Rebbe says elsewhere, that there was an Isurus of the Latata. It started, we want to say that really it has to start with an arousal from above. Hashem starts the whole thing off, and that gets us excited, and then us getting excited gets Hashem excited, which that in turn gets us excited. So this whole ping-ball thing back and forth is right, us excitement.
Right.
So you would think that, being that Hashem was around before we were, that it would have to be that Hashem was the initiator of this excitement.
Was excited first, yes.
Yes, you would think that. Mm-hmm. And then we received that excitement, and we got excited.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But it says concerning the creation, "B'mi nimuch b'shmaseihem shel tzaddikim."
Yes.
With whom did Hashem take counsel before creation? Should I bother creating a council? Should I bother creating
right.
a world?
World?
It says so. He went and he consulted with the souls of the righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean he's got all these souls sitting around? And he says, "Listen, by show of hands, how many of you think I should make a creation?"
No.
Not at all. He wasn't taking a vote. In Judaism, it's very interesting. Of all of the various forms of government that are mentioned in the Bible, democracy is not one of them.
Right.
Okay? That just doesn't work in our circles. Okay? So, being that the Almighty, what does it mean that he took counsel in the righteous? So he saw what the accomplishments of the Nefesh Elokis was going to be in this world if he were to take this Nefesh Elokis. This is before Nefesh Elokis is even created.
Right.
If he takes his Nefesh Elokis and he sticks it into a physical world and all the things that it was able to accomplish, and the Shem said, you know, that's worth a creation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So in that instance, you would say it was the souls that started off first, and that caused an arousal from above.
Yeah.
Being only, but only in a potential state.
Right.
Their potential for what could be caused a potential for what might be. Okay? But, let's take it one step further. Who thought of these souls?
Exactly.
I can't grasp it because I can't. There was no time.
Hashem thought of the souls.
Of course.
This is before time.
Of course. Right.
Hashem thought of the souls,
right.
that when Hashem thought of the souls, so that brought the souls into existence.
Right.
So I can understand if Hashem initiates it because there is no time.
I don't think time has anything to do with it at this point. Because time...
Action, beginning or end, there's no...
Well, we have sequence.
Yeah, sequence.
Is there really a sequence?
Yes, Yisurusa Dele'el is Garmi which is Garmi Yisurusa Dele'el. An arousal from above causes an arousal from below causes an arousal from above, which causes an arousal from below. You get excited, gets Hashem excited, and then you get more excited.
Right.
But before there's a below, that's my problem.
Yeah, so that's what we said. So
there was
if we're gonna take a look at the souls before there was a creation. There's no such thing as below. In that instance, below would be the souls, and above would be Hashem. But those are the souls as they exist in potential.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay? When we take that one step further, though, and negate that, though, and say, well, really, Hashem was the one who thought of the souls into existence, so it was Hashem that caused
the potential.
The potential to come into exist.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So maybe he started with the potential, then he...
But for all intents and purposes, we're talking about over here... Things start with us. ki adam ein la avid. Okay, because it says there was nobody to work. It's a pasuk that talks about the gardeners. Rak by chafes chesed, but rak ki chafes chesed hu, but because Hashem desires kindness, the olam chesed yibana, and the world was built on kindness. V'zehu behi baram be'avraham. If you do another anagram on the word behi baram, that He created them, you get the word be'avraham, with Avraham.
Mm-hmm.
What is the whole purpose of the creation of the world? Is Avraham. Ki chasid la Avraham. Hashem did kindness to Avraham. So that's an interesting thing about Avraham. In tying this in, there's a maimer from the Tzemach Tzedek that discusses the different mizbechos that Avraham made. Avraham, it says in Chumash, made two altars. Right? When he says, Lech lecha me'artzecha meladecha beitzavicha, el Eretz Yisrael. So when he gets to Eretz Yisrael, when he gets to Eretz Canaan, so he makes a mizbeach for Hashem hanira alav, for Hashem who appeared to him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the first altar. And later on, when he comes back after after Mitzrayim, and he goes to a couple other things over there, so he builds another altar. It says, Vayivan Avram Mizbeach Lashem. That's all it says. What happened to you? This time he didn't appear to him. So it says that we know, it says the Zohar says, Talas Kishurin Einan. There are three knots. Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'araisa V'araisa V'Yisrael. There are three knots, Hashem with the Torah and the Torah with the Jewish people. And through the Torah, the Jewish people become knotted to Hashem. Okay? So he says that, you know, in the Torah, you have the revealed part of Torah and you have the concealed part of Torah. And with Hashem, you have a revealed part of Hashem and you have the concealed part of Hashem. And with the Yisrael, you have a revealed part of Yisrael and you have a concealed part of Yisrael. What's the revealed part of Yisrael? Is Yaakov. Unlike Avraham. If you refer to Yisrael as Yaakov, that's fine. Because we see in the Chumash, right after the angel says, your name will no longer be called Yaakov, but now you're going to be called Yisrael. So he says that what happens next, and Yaakov limped away. Okay, we use the word Yaakov right there.
Right.
Whereas with Avraham, if a person refers to Avraham, he's over in Israel.
It's in Israel.
You're not allowed to do that. Right. His name is no longer Avram. It's now Avraham because there's a difference in differences there.
Right.
Avram means exalted father,
right,
which is an expression, Av meaning Chachma. We had this before that in chapter 3 of Tanya, that Chachma and Bina are the father and the mother.
Mm.
And the 6 days of creation, or the six emotions, are the banim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Av is the father. So Avram means exalted father, means a very high level of wisdom. But then he changes his name, throws a hey in there.
Right.
Oh, that hey again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, same one.
Mm-hmm.
And now he becomes, gives a little extra charge, and he becomes Av Hamon Goyim, a father of a multitude of nations.
That's right.
An even higher level. So this, you can't call him Avram anymore, but Yisrael, Yaakov. So Yaakov dealt with, is a revealed level of the Jew.
Mm.
The Jew that has to get up and go to get to work in the morning and puts on tefillin in the morning and does whatever he does in the morning. But then there's the level of Yisrael, which is Sar Kale. The Prince of God, which relates to the essence of Hashem. So that when you have, for example, what is a person supposed to do every morning is a half des Hashem Elokecha v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol ma'edecha. And one way of explaining that, you could say that's all Yaakov. That's what you're supposed to do. That's a normal thing. You're supposed to love Hashem. Based on ki hu chayenu. Okay, if somebody does you a favor, so you feel an affinity towards that person. If somebody saves your life, you're in a great sense of gratitude forever to the person.
Sure, of course.
Hashem, who gives you your life.
Oops.
For sure, not oops, for sure you should have love for Hashem. Yeah. But that love that you have for Hashem, even if it's b'chol ma'idecha, if it's coming from your understanding,
still,
it's only at best chitzonius.
Yeah.
It's external. It's an external expression of your love for Hashem.
Yeah.
But if you could relate to Hashem in a way like Yisroel, which Yisroel is the sarkel beru'usa deliba, from the depth of the heart. He talked about chapter 19, and he talked about it in the Tanya Chitas that we're doing now, chapter 45.
Mm.
So there, what we're having is it's not based on because hu ha'chayecha. You understand Hashem brought me into existence, so therefore I have a relationship with Hashem. It's no, Hashem is your essence, and therefore you relate to Hashem. The love that you have for it with Hashem is an essential love, from the very depth, from the very innermost. Okay? And then that, what does that cause? It says, so you have, what was Avraham trying to do with the two altars? So it says, the altar that he built for the Hashem HaNir Allah, the Hashem appeared to him. What kind of level of elokus was it that Hashem appeared to him? Well, we have some indication later on the Chumash in Parshas Va'era when it says, Hashem says, what are you complaining about? I only appear to Avram with... Wait. He's telling Moshe, you get a higher level of elokus. I only appear to Avram with...
Only.
So the level of elokus that Avraham experienced was an only... It's only this amount...
Yeah.
Moshe got so much more. Avraham only got that.
Mm.
So that means that the revelation which appeared to Avraham was a revelation of elokus that he could comprehend. And it says, so this is the same thing with us also, that before a person starts davening, what does it say a person has to do? He has to meditate how Hashem is chayenu malik al ha'aretz v'chvaydei. Okay, how the world is totally and completely filled with elokus. And that will bring you godliness in a revealed way.
Mm.
But it says, there's another step up. What is Avram doing with the second one? Vayivan Avram Mizbeach La Hashem. It says that by Moshe, there's an instance where it says Hashem Hashem.
Mm.
By the Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim.
Yeah.
Right? Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum V'chanan Erech HaPayim Rav Hasid V'mes. Okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there, Hashem Hashem is written with nothing in between.
Right.
When Hashem called out to Avraham by the Akedah, it says, where was this? Where does it say Hashem Hashem? Wait a minute. It says Avraham, Avraham by the Akedah. I don't remember.
He says it a couple different ways.
There's a Hashem, there's a Hashem Hashem by Avraham also. I don't remember right now. I can't think of it. There's a psik time of Begaveu. There's a stop there. And the way you have to sing it is Hashem, Hashem. You have to stop in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's an indication that it's two different Hashems.
Two different ones.
Two different things. The first one is Hashem as it relates to Mamalik HaLang, which is conveyed through the specific faculties of understanding and is manifest in all in three dimensions. The second one is, that's what it says, Hashem Nir Allah, which appeared to him. The second one is the higher level of Hashem, which is from Soviv Kolomim. We talked about Soviv Kolomim a bunch of times. We talked about it in the end of in chapter 46 and chapter 50 and Shari Yechud V'amun, and we talked about it, and a little bit, just a little tiny bit at the end of Ageres HaTshuva, we talk about the Soviv Kolomim, that everything is B'Hishava Achas, it's all one thing.
Mm.
It's a godliness which is too high to be brought down into the world. And what did Avraham do? It says, Avraham was Hoylech V'Nisa HaNegba. Avraham traveled to the south. The south is Chesed. And traveling, Hoylech V'Nisa, traveling and going, was his every turn he was drawing down higher levels of Elokus that till that point had not been revealed.
Mm-hmm.
And all that to say that he got a low level
picture
that was mushrooming.
Correct. With all that. That makes you appreciate what Moshe got. If Avraham is an only, this much is only how much he got, so imagine what Moshe got. Acher Brias Ha'adam La'avdai, but after, now once Hashem has created the person to serve the world, Azai Kolises Dalela Ere Midas Achesed Elyain Hubis Zoltata Bitstaka Vachesed Shisol Oisin Ba'ilamazah. How do we get, once Hashem started, when Hashem started off, so he was the one who did the first thing, he got the ball rolling. But now that we have a physical world and we have people living in it, so it's up to us to start the kindness. Avram was showered upon with godly kindness. Mm-hmm. What we have to do is we have to schlep the godly kindness down. How do you do that? Tzedakah. Mm. Okay? Giving tzedakah. Okay, the Alter Rebbe was a master fundraiser.
Hmm.
Okay,
you think
you're sitting in your house in what do you call it in Slutsk or in Kharkov or you know who knows someplace in Minsk someplace, and you get this letter from the Alter Rebbe, and you sit there and you think, all I got to do is just give money, and all this happens. Sure, no problem.
He sent them there. Yeah, of our Torah to go for them to give to the community.
Yeah, Lachin Amarizal Kol HaEmer Ein Li Aliteira Belig Milas Chasadim. What time is it? Maybe we should stop here. We can keep going. Therefore, anybody who says I only have Torah without doing any good deeds, Afilu Torah Ein Li. Okay, to say he says later, and I think he had it before, that a person who learns Torah, lo al manas la'asos, who does it not for the sake of putting it into practical application, would be better had his afterbirth fallen over his face. Mm. That's the expression that the Alter Rebbe takes from the Gemara. So it says now, because the whole purpose of why do we have the Torah is in order to facilitate us making the world a better place. It says to, if a person says, I'm only doing Torah, well, we know in Pirkei Avos, the first Perek, the world stands on three pillars. Tera, Aveda, Ugmilas, Chasadim. So a person says, I only got one pillar, it's not a pedestal. It's not going to work.
Right.
Try sticking a ball on top of a broomstick.
This is not a golf tee.
Yes. Okay, it's a broomstick. Try sticking a ball on top of a broomstick and see how long it stays up there. Okay, so then. And this would be true, it's interesting, one of the commentaries on this chapter said, this is true with every mitzvah. A person says, I'm not putting on tefillin because I learned Torah. Hmm. Okay? I don't need ainli elatera, bleat tefillin. I'm learning Torah day and night.
Yes.
And therefore, I don't have to put on tefillin. Because Isaac min a mitzvah, pater min a mitzvah. If you're occupied in doing a mitzvah, you don't have to do another mitzvah.
Mm-hmm. Not hardly.
Okay, understood.
Even the Gemara said that.
Understood. Many tried and many failed. Mm. Okay. But if a person does this, so what's the difference over here? Is because of the magnanimousness of Gemilas Chasadim. Mm. Because since it is that Olam bechesed yibana, the world was built on kindness. So it's kindness is going to sustain it.
Right.
Not putting tefillin around your pelvic.
Oops.
Okay. Now, Rabbi Finman didn't say don't put on tefillin. That's not what Rabbi Finman just said. Finman said, you have to put on tefillin tomorrow. You have to put on tefillin tomorrow. I heard a very cute story about Zalman Posner. Zalman Posner just passed away this week. You know who Zalman Posner was? Mm. Heard the name? Zalman Posner was the English-speaking Lubavitcher from the 1950s through the 1980s. Mm. No other Lubavitcher could speak English. And he translated, he did a bunch of translations. He translated part of the Tanya, he wrote a couple of books. And he used to participate in what were referred to as the Pegisha Weekends, where college kids and young people would come to Crown Heights and they would bring him in to speak because he was the one with English. Okay? He was the one who could talk. He was the one who could talk English. Okay? So I saw a story. Actually, I was there. It was 1976. He was explaining. I had no idea. This is the first time I'm walking into anything Crown Heights. I got hair down below my shoulders. And he's talking about tefillin.
Hmm.
Okay. And he's talking from on top of your head up.
Hmm.
All the things that happen with tefillin.
Hmm.
Okay. And he gets done. He talks for about half an hour. And I'm kind of trying to follow because after all, at that point, I had probably learned maybe five chapters of Tanya at that point. And I'm kind of trying to think, yeah, this is like really heavy, man. This is like, what is this guy talking about? So somebody raised his hand and said, yes, any questions? And there's like dead silence in the room. I'm thinking, and
telling the question.
And somebody says, so this is what you think about every morning before you put your tefillin on? And he said, no, I just put them on.
Hello.
Okay. Yeah. So the kavanah is if you're just sitting and learning, it doesn't get it because we live in the world of action.
Right.
And you could sit and you could think all the kavanahs. It's good for an angel, but we're not angels, we're people. We live in three dimensions. You have to occupy with three dimensional things. Mm. So in this instance, with the three dimensional object that the Alter Rebbe wants you to work with, happens to be money. You have to learn, and you have to do acts of kindness as well. Because even though it's true that the Torah comes from Hashem's wisdom, and you would therefore think that if I sit a whole day and occupy in Torah and really delve into it to the point where I can find the essential point of Torah and thus by be connected my essence to the essence of Torah, to the essence of Hashem, it's all very well and good until you put a quarter in the pushka. Mm-hmm. It's very nice. I'm glad you could do that. Pat yourself on the back, buddy. Your essence tied with the essence of the Torah, tied with the essence of Hashem. Great. Good stuff. I'm glad. Okay? Now, go put on tefillin.
We're in a sea.
Yep. The Raisa B'chachman Nafkas, Ubar Raisa Miskaima Olma, and with the Torah, the world is kept. Okay? So, as it says, there's another place it says, that Istalli Korah Kutcha B'chu B'oraisa Ubar Olma. Hashem looked into the Torah and created the world. Tzadikaya astalkia baraisa vekaima olma. The tzadikim look into the Torah and they keep the world going. So it's good. So that means that this person who has this ability to zoom into the essence of the Torah understands that the essence of the Torah is keeping the world going. Even if you have such a case like a Levi Yitzchak Berdichev who was able to guess the Alter Rebbe's mother's name by looking at a pasuk in Breishis. And say, oh, that's the pasuk that's referring obviously to the Alter Rebbe. I'm not going to go into the story now. But such a person like that understands that what's the main thing is the mitzvah. Since we're talking about Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, so there's a story that right before Pesach, Erev Pesach, everybody gets up really early, they go to shul, you got to eat your chametz, you got to burn your chametz. So on his way to shul, Levi Yitzchak Berdichev sees the local town smuggler. Every town needs a smuggler. Okay, and he says to him, how soon can you get me 3 yards of Chinese silk? Okay, so he says, I can probably get it for you about an hour, Rebbe. He says, fine, bring it over after davening. Okay, right after davening, knock on the door, here's your Chinese silk. In the afternoon, so things quiet down already. We've got the chametzes burned already. How much do you have to do already? They swept out the old dirt and got new dirt for the floor. Okay, the hard-boiled eggs are boiling away over there. The schmaltz has already been made. Yeah. You know, so the gematzes or whatever there are. So right. He decides he's going to go on a stroll. And he knocks on a door. The person opens up the door. He says, it's a Rebbe. He says, Rebbe, what can I do for you? And he says, if you don't mind, I'd like a piece of pumpernickel. Ever heard this story?
Yeah, this isn't the one where he says, go give me like some fancy tobacco or something.
I heard silk.
Oh, I'll be fine, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not having it.
So he says, I'd like a piece of pumpernickel. The man fell on the floor, crying. Rebbe, how would you think? It's Erev Pesach. I should have a piece of pumpernickel in my house. I spent all this time cleaning. He cleaned. Yeah. And, so he says, it's okay. And so he went under further before he knocked on another door. Says, the guy opens up. It's the Rebbe. He says, Rebbe, what could I do for you? He says, if you don't mind, I really would like a piece of pumpernickel. Same scenario.
It's past the fifth hour, right?
Yeah. Oh, chametz is already burned.
And sold.
Okay? Aser b'hanah.
Right.
Okay? And this goes on a half a dozen times, I don't know many times. So he goes to the shul and opens up the Aron HaKodesh. And says, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, there are guards at the border with instructions to kill smugglers.
Right.
Smugglers ruin economies. That's the problem with smuggling is.
That's
right. Okay, and yet, within such a short time, without any feeling of Mesiras Nefesh, with nothing, I was able to procure the goods from the other side of the border. But you, Hashem, there's no guards, there's nobody watching. Because your children love you,
that's right,
they listen to your commandments.
That's right.
Don't you think it's time you sent the Mashiach already? Right. Okay, evidently Hashem said no.
Yeah, it didn't quite work out exactly.
Okay, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
Okay, so even a tzaddik, who such as the of Levi Yitzchak Berdichev's caliber, who is able to look into the Torah, knew that you have to look in the Torah to keep the Torah going, to keep the world going. That's the main thing. Is action is what speaks.
Action.
Uburaisum is kaim alma be'in de alin be'en, for those who occupy themselves in it. Ki bedvar mamshichim ha'aris v'hashpa'ois chachme ilam ha'makar ha'tar l'b'v'chines oisius ha'diber. Because what happens now? We have a mitzvah talmud Torah. Mitzvah talmud Torah is you have to say the words. What happens when you articulate the words is you're drawing the Torah, which is from a chachma of Hashem, and you're drawing it down through what we've been talking about. We talked about it for a whole hour last week with how speech pathology works, that it goes around and around and around, and it comes out here so that this chachma of Hashem can be articulated in a physical world. We say this in davening every single day. Okay, don't read it your sons, but read it your builders.
Yeah.
Okay, what are the Talmid HaChachamim? The Talmid HaChachamim are not just the sons of Hashem, they're the builders of the world. Because of the Torah that they're learning, they're drawing down the Elokus into the world. Okay, and if it ever were to happen that the whole entire world, everybody stopped learning Torah simultaneously, the whole world would cease to exist. Let's go down a little further. Hayam Shachazu, Ibavakinis, you read the Gedola. This derivative of godliness now is a tremendous down descent. So you have to arouse Hashem's ultimate levels of kindness, which draws down like water from a high place to a low place. When a person performs tzedakah, an act of tzedakah, a kindness down here, by supplying livelihood and sustenance to the poor and the downtrodden. So don't think that I'm only throwing a quarter in a pushka. This is basically the basic theme behind all these tzedakah letters is, don't poo-poo that quarter you're throwing into the pushka.
Right.
You have no idea what is being accomplished when you throw that quarter into the pushka, when you're talking spiritually speaking. Because in this sense that we're talking about, the amount of godliness which is being brought down into this world with that quarter, it's not a quarter's worth of godliness. It's enough godliness to sustain the world. To be continued. We stopped on page 417, first paragraph on the left side. And in Hebrew it starts with Zeshe Kasadal Yishalo Chacham B'Chachmasai. To be continued.
To be continued.